The Song of Roland is a poem in the genre we call chanson de geste, a song of great deeds, a tale of great deeds. Well, this particular poem, as you may recall from our earlier discussion, recounts a single event in the life of Charlemagne and then revises it to fit the context of its own time. This poem written in 1100. This is now the world of the Crusades. This is the world of the geographical expansion of Europe. This is a world of the peace and truce of God. You should fight God's enemies and not other Christians. It is a poem that fully breathes all of those spirits. It's a poem that takes up great themes of honor and betrayal. Just the kinds of themes that would have interested the men of that age. You'll remember again that this is a poem that I said shows us chivalry as an affair of men. Women are all but invisible in this poem. But the women will begin to appear in French literature in the 12th century. For example, in the course of the 12th century, two literary forms emerged, the lay and the romance. Now, lays were short stories about an encounter between usually between a woman and her lover. The greatest writer of lays was Marie de France, a female writer of some note who wrote in the 1170s. We don't know very much about her, actually. The lays might be set in more or less contemporary times, or they might be set in the remote past. Romances, on the other hand, were longer works, often from a woman's point of view, though mostly written by men, as far as we know. They at least purpose to tell stories from a woman's point of view. They narrate stories of relationships between men and women, but often much else besides. There is often adventure, there is war, there is battle, there is travel, there are mythical beasts, there are all manner of things that emerge in these romances. But the stories are interesting for many reasons, but particularly because they are very rich in human emotions and in conflicting loyalties. There is, for example, in a poem like The Song of Roland, something almost preachy, something almost universalizing. It is as if what is being said to all people everywhere at all time. When we enter the world of the romance, we feel flesh and blood human beings encountering real circumstances. Now, sometimes real circumstances set in a fanciful frame, but real, credible, flesh and blood people all the same. The greatest writer of romances was Chrétien de Troyes, born about 1135, died in 1183. Now, the most influential vernacular poetry of the 12th century was that of the troubadours, the great singers of the south of France. We mentioned the German Minnesänger as having been influenced by them. Taking their rise in southern France, the troubadours were influenced by a variety of things. They were influenced by the social currents of the age of chivalry and by the world of feudalism. They were influenced by the love poetry of the ancients, especially the great poet Ovid, and they were influenced, it seems, by the love lyrics of Muslim Spain. They produced poems of unusual feeling, of unusual frankness, of unusual clarity. Late in the 12th century, for example, one of the finest of the troubadours, Bernard Ventadorn, wrote these lines. "Alas, how much I knew of love, I thought, but so little know of it. For now I cannot check my love for her, who gives me little profit. She has my heart and all of me, herself and all the world, and nothing leaves to me when thus she takes me, except desire and heartfelt longing." Not all troubadours were men. Here are a few lines from Castellozza, born around 1200, one of the finest, though by no means the only, woman troubadour. "Friend, if you had shown consideration, meekness, candor, and humanity, I'd have loved you without hesitation. But you were mean and sly and villainous." Now, the troubadours, and to a degree the romancers, give rise to a set of feelings, to a set of literary expressions, that scholars have labeled courtly love. Now, on one level, this means no more than literature produced in a medieval court, literature produced by people who were patronized by those in medieval courts. Courtly love was the love poetry of courts. On another level, it means a literature that takes a certain view of love. It cannot truly happen within marriage. It is almost always unrequited. It is normally from afar. And finally, but perhaps most importantly, it is an ideal, almost a platonic ideal. It is fanamour, fine love, pure love as opposed to the common lust of the masses.